Hi everyone and welcome back to the Offline Gamer. This is episode 74 and it's our 2022 UK Games Expo preview show. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ray.
And are you excited, Ray?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
there's some good looking stuff.
There sure is.
Going to be there.
Yes. So, for those people who are living under a rock and don't know what the UK Games Expo is, it's the UK's biggest board game convention. And where and when is it, Ray?
It is Friday, the 3rd of June Sunday, the 5th of June at the NEC in Birmingham.
See, well done. I've put you on the spot there, but well done.
And handily, we have an extra bank holiday this year.
We do.
Which means that we're all off on the 2nd and the 3rd.
We are.
Providing we don't have to work on bank holidays.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of people working retail who aren't going to be enjoying the fact that there's an extra bank holiday this year. So commiserations to you. I've been there, done that. I know how much I didn't enjoy it.
Ditto.
Yeah. But for those of us who are off, the event officially, the main trade halls are open from Friday to Sunday. But on the Thursday, there is a press preview or show preview, they call it, event on the Thursday evening. Plus, it's open for you to drop off your Bring and Buy items if you're selling anything at the Bring and Buy this year. And you can also collect your tickets. So the ticketing desk on Thursday is open from noon until 8 p.m., where you can collect your pre-ordered tickets. And I think you can probably still buy them on the door as well, can't you?
Imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Bring and Buy is open from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Thursday.
Yeah.
So quite late.
And then on the Friday, the ticketing hall, it's not a hall this year. They're using the booths at the front of the NEC again, like they usually do.
Yeah.
And then they'll be open from 8 a.m. On Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So, we should be lots of exciting things happening and people queuing for their tickets. So be sure to get there early to avoid disappointment or standing around for hours. And there's three halls this year. We're back up to three again, same as it was in 2019. So last year it was, hall two? Now, hall one was the ticketing hall, wasn't it? The queuing hall last year. And then hall two, or was it hall three?
I think we were in two and three.
Two and three, okay. So three was where they'd use for ticketing. And
you queued.
Yeah. Two was open gaming and stuff. But this year we're back to three halls. So hall one and hall two are the main trade show halls where you can find all the goodies. Hall three is tournaments and open play. And hall three is what will be open until late when the main hall's shut. So... And they're actually open slightly longer this year. They're open from 9 till 6. Isn't it normally 9 till 5? Or am I misremembering?
I'm sure it usually shut at 6.
Okay. I mean, that's just me.
And are we back at the Marriott? Is the hotel involved again?
The Hilton.
Hilton, yeah. You know what I mean.
I know what you meant. Yes, the Hilton is back up and running. There are, what's the word? Open play areas in the Hilton, and live shows are in the Hilton as well, I think.
And so, yeah. Potentially Chow Street is back.
Chow Street is back.
Which is obviously the most important piece of news.
Yes. All the street vendors are back, except for our favourite.
Yeah, I know. Sad times.
Yeah. Becky's Barges are no longer in business, unfortunately.
No. Becky's Barges decided to retire.
Yeah.
Basically.
I'm sure COVID helped them along with that decision, but they've been doing it for quite a while, haven't they?
I suspect so, yeah. Yeah, and I believe the owners were at least in their 50s, I think. So they were already a bit older than the rest of the street food people that are out there. So, which is a shame. Because I would like that recipe.
Yes. Well, they're on Facebook. You can always message them.
Would you like to sell your recipe to
your barge recipe, please? Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. So, yeah, then the only thing I don't like about Chow Street is that if you aren't going to anything at the Hilton, which we aren't this year because we're not going to any shows, it's a good 5 or 10 minute walk to get some food.
Yeah. I mean, you do have the option of just staying in the NEC and having whatever's in there.
You do.
However.
I mean, one of the options is a Wetherspoons and, you know.
That's always rammed.
Well, yeah, but I refuse to give Wetherspoons any money these days.
That too. But they usually have their own, like, fake street food fans as well, which tend to be quite pricey. And yes, street food vans nowadays are quite pricey generally. However,
this was just normal food that they put in a van outside, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, like for what you get, it's not A, the quality, B, the quantity that you get from your average street food vendor. Yeah. So.
And I don't have good experiences with the NEC street food vendors, as you probably remember.
Yes.
The less said about the tartar sauce incident, the better.
Oh, yes. And yet you're always the one that brings it up.
It's funny that.
Yeah.
It's quality content for the podcast, that's why.
Yeah. Don't trust Matt with fish and chips is basically the answer to everything.
Yeah. So we are once again attending as press, and we will be doing interviews and whatnot with people. Whatnot? Whatnots? Whatnots or whatnot? I don't know. But we'll be talking to lots of people over the course of the weekend and finding out all about the latest games. Now, when we're wandering around the halls, Ray, we might get lost. And people might get lost. How can we avoid such a thing from happening?
How? How indeed? Is that a map?
It's a map. It's a map that's been printed out on A3 paper. And it says, The Offline Gamer, annotated map. Amazing.
So, yes, Matt is back to save you all from getting lost.
Matt the Map Man.
Yeah.
So if you go to our website, offlinegamer.co.uk, you can find our fully annotated version of the map. And for those who don't know what that is, then it's the official Expo map from the programme. But I put everyone's name on the
map itself.
Yeah, so you can see where they all are.
So you don't have to keep flicking between the exhibitor list and the map to try and figure out where to go.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you are looking for a specific exhibitor, then obviously looking for their name in the list will be easier. Specific exhibitor, yeah. But at least if you're looking at where you are, you know what's around you as well, which is, I think, the main benefit. So if you can see the Alicat Games stand, you can just see the big Alicat Games logo on the map and then go, oh, yeah, they're there, right around me without having to keep on clicking backwards and forwards. So.
What is your new innovation for this year?
Oh, I've got two new innovations for this year. One is that I've printed out an A2 copy, which is what I'm going to be giving to the guys on the information stand, if they'll have it off me. Don't see what they would.
They usually do.
They usually do. And the other innovation is, if you're an exhibitor and you want one of the little maps on your wall, you can put a little sticker that says you are here on it, and it will show people where they are. So it will hopefully help people, again, find their way around. So we've got lots of little You Are Here stickers that Karen's going to be graciously cutting out for us at some point. I think she's going to bring a craft knife and just cut around them. Because they're like the little Google Maps
pins.
Sort of pin shape, yeah. So, and then you can just put those on the map so people know where they are.
Lovely. And, so... if you think Matt deserves some reward for this, our Ko-fi link is on the maps.
It is, yes. Someone thought it would be a good idea to put it on, didn't they, Ray?
Yes.
Yep. And it seems to be working well. We've had a few donations this year to say thank you. So I'm very grateful for those people who have donated. And
it will go towards paying for the maps
the money that it cost me to get them printed out. Although I got them from a very reasonable price from Banana Print, yet again. £35 for 250 sheets.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good. It's a lot cheaper than it would be to get it done at work, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
They charge like £15 for a single one.
Bloody hell. That's
I
a bit
know, it's ridiculous. Rich. I went and asked them a couple of years ago and said how much to get a couple of these printed out. This would be like 20 quid. Are you joking? Like, fine, whatever. So, I mean, banana printer are proper commercial printers and they do them in bulk. So, they're not just using inkjets, I suppose, unlike PrintMe would be. But
yeah.
Anyway. So, we've got a lot of games to get through. So, how are we going to go through all these games? Well, our good friends over at Tabletop Spirit magazine, and I say they're our good friends because they put a link to our map in their UKG 2022 preview issue. So because they're our good friends, we are going to go through their magazine. And what they've done is they've contacted a lot of the vendors who are going to be there. Not all of them, because there's like 400, but they've contacted a decent chunk, most of the UK-based ones, I think, and ask them what they're bringing, what's new, what's hot. And so we're just going to go through this list and see what there is. And if there's anything we like the look of, we'll talk about it in a bit more detail.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one we're looking at, so these are all in alphabetical order. So it's 2D6 games who are on stand 11124, which is, if I just consult the map, 1124. It's near the sort of right hand side of the hall. They are on the right hand side of the hall. They're near the shop and drop. They're right against the wall of hall one. You know where the stairs are?
Yes.
Just around there.
Lots of the smaller stands down there usually.
Yeah. So we've got, what have they got? They've got Lembitu, which is a cooperative board game inspired by the events of the Livonian Crusade in Estonia. Players are in the role of generals fighting against conquerors and initiating rebellions. And apparently it has point-to-point movement and dice rolling. Should we have a look at that on BGG? Because that looks quite interesting.
Yes, I noticed you popped it on your list of...
I put 2D6 on my list. I can't remember why. I don't think it was for this one. Okay. I think it was for one of the other games. Yes, I'm okay with cookies. Thank you. Oh, okay. So it's a... what's that a map of?
Estonia, I imagine.
Possibly, yeah. Okay, so it's got lots of little bits and pieces and things. The images from BGG are actually from 2018, so I'm guessing this game has been in developer for quite a while. Developer? Development.
What year is its official release?
Oh, it says 2015 on here. So maybe this is a reprint, or maybe it's just been in development. And oh, no, of course, there is a 2015 version available for sale on Board Game Geek, so I don't have pictures of it, though. Maybe this is just an older game that they're bringing along to publicise.
Maybe they haven't got over to the UKG before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the version, there's only one version listed, the multilingual 2015 edition. So, okay.
Yep.
Oh. 1918, Death on the Rails, a fast-moving, challenging and tense block war game based on the Estonian War of Independence. I'm noticing a theme here.
They are a games developer from Estonia.
Oh, okay.
So that would probably be why.
Yeah. War games aren't my cup of tea, though, generally.
No.
No. Okay. Oh, this is why we added them as one to look at. Because this next game is Pizza Delivery. In Pizza Delivery, you are a pizza delivery courier, and you must try to make the most profit out of one delivery day, both by delivering pizzas and fulfilling your secret objectives. Is there a link? Can I look this up on the Geek? Pizza Delivery. Look at that. It's got little scooters and bikes and things that you're delivering your pizzas on.
Aww.
Little scooter meeples. And it's got lots of cards with pizzas on. What's not to like?
Who knows? Pizza is, easy thing for food, isn't it?
Yeah, although my mum doesn't like pizza for some reason. She likes bread, and she likes, the things that are on a pizza, but she just doesn't like them all mashed together. in the form of a pizza.
Yeah, well, I never used to like pizza until I actually went to Italy and had a pizza in Italy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I realized it's just, I don't like the like standard or deep dish pizza because it's just, there's too much slime of tomato. And I'm just like, ugh. So if it's a thin, if it's thin and crispy, then that's okay.
Okay.
I'm down with thin and crispy.
So next up are Two Tomatoes Games, who are going to be there. And we don't know what stand they're on. And I haven't got them on the map either. So I don't know if they're definitely still going. But they've got Peak Oil Profiteer, which is, I mean, they're usually there with some of the Peak Oil games, aren't they? So.
Yeah, I'm sure we saw a Peak Oil thing last year.
Yeah. Peak Oil Profiteer is a card-driven tactical game with area control, simultaneous action selection, and a healthy dose of player interaction. Interesting. And they're also bringing Coral. Players develop a coral reef whilst vying to position their own species closest to the top to soak up the life-giving sunlight. Together, you build a magnificent 3D structure that resembles a coral reef growing and living in complex competitive harmony. That sounds fun.
That does sound fun. I do wonder how the pieces are going to be representing.
Let's see if there's any pictures on the old Board Game Geek. Doesn't look like there is. No. Interesting. So we're going to have to investigate that.
Yep. You're going to have to remember to make a note of that.
I'm going to have to open the Excel spreadsheet. Just bear with me. So this is exciting life admin for all the listeners. Yes, we are that organised. Well, I mean, I am. Someone hasn't gone through and...
I have.
Oh, have you? Have you done some? Oh, yeah, I can see you've done some maybes.
I have now.
Right, then. I suppose I better sort it by name, hadn't I? That would work. That would work better, wouldn't it? Others are making changes. Do you want to see filtering and sorting from others? Oh, you've got the file open.
Oh, let me close it. There you go. I've closed it.
See, just mine. That's fine. It opens it in a separate view. Who are we looking at again? Two Tomatoes, aren't we?
Two Tomatoes.
Oh, no, we don't know where they are, so they're not on the list. So we need to... just remember,
you need to if we find them.
Put it
in the WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah.
Because I listed a few games in WhatsApp that I didn't know who actually are bringing them. So
notes. Two Tomatoes have a coral game, but we don't know where they are. Boom. Done. And they've got another game, Through Ice and Snow. Wasn't this on Kickstarter recently?
It was, yes. Yes. I recognise it.
So if you're interested, if you've seen the Kickstarter for Through Ice and Snow and you're interested to find out more, then you can figure out where Two Tomatoes are and go and see them. They'll probably tweet something, won't they, to say where they are. In fact, they've got a Twitter account. Two Tomatoes Twitter. Two Tomatoes Gyms. I mean, their tweets are all in Spanish, which is understandable. But now we don't know where they are. Oh, go away, Twitter. I don't want to log in. Fine. Oh, and I'm demolishing my recording environment. Okay, Adderstone Games next. Legends of Avalyn. So they're on stand 1567. What is this? Does it say what type of game it is?
Regular deck of playing cards.
Just needs a deck of playing cards, yeah. Get creative with your surroundings and work together with your friends to earn more cards for checks. So is it sort of like an RPG mix? Oh, it's a card-based RPG. It literally says that in the first line of the description.
There you go.
So it could be interesting, but, you know, RPGs, I'm not massive on them. I'm interested in them a bit. And we'll probably have a look at it. But, I mean, we don't get enough time to play the games we've got, let alone an RPG campaign. That's just, even more problems. Right, Alley Cat Games, stand 1714. They have Dice Theme Park, which is currently in the hands of Parcel Force, making its way to me, which I'm quite excited about, which is the successor to Dice Hospital. Or the spiritual successor, rather. It describes itself as a dice cascade game. I guess that makes sense because the dice like go up or down over time. I guess that's what that means. And then they're also bringing their Eternal Palace, which is their dice placement Euro game, which is it's got a pagoda. That's why I was interested in that one, because the pagoda in the middle of the board looked nice. Players will race up tracks, gaining resources to rebuild monuments and recruit workers to their noble family. So that's a worker placement game. And then we've got Autobahn. Now, hasn't this just been on, or is on Kickstarter at the moment?
Yes, I've seen it recently.
Now, I haven't backed this because this might be a bit too heavy. I won't know until we see it at the show. It does say it's a heavyweight Euro game. You have to develop the Autobahn, build roads, manage the shipping of goods, and promote employees to optimize your strategy and make the best contributions to the ever-expanding Autobahn. And it's a hand management area control game. I mean, it looks nice.
Yeah.
Then again, all Alicat games look nice. Right, do you want to do the next? I'll let you describe the next couple, if you can read them.
Thanks.
It's all right.
I'm sure Matt's decided to swap over because he's not sure how to say this.
I'm going to
go with Aluka Chase.
That's
Limited.
What I was going to say. Yeah.
Unknown Stand.
Yeah.
And they're bringing Aluka Chase, the card game. Also, I guess they've just named it after the card game.
Yeah.
It isn't quite Squid Games, but it is a race to get the key before they get you. Plays like Uno, Exploding Kittens, and Chase the Ace. I don't know what Chase the Ace is, so I'm going to... It's just a
cat card game, isn't it? Yeah. It could
be
fun.
It's not even cats, is it? It's just...
That's it, you're not interested then?
It's just a card game.
Okay.
Where you chase stuff. Next, we've got Backspindle Games, who are on 1T90.
Yeah, that means they're on the front edge, next to where you walk in. So literally, you walk in. I think what T90 is on your right as you walk in. Yeah. Okay.
So they're bringing Lucha Wars, which is the next level follow-up to the award-winning Luchador Mexican wrestling dice. So this is going to be a wrestling game using dice and dexterity. Each wrestler has their own special moves and dice. So it also includes a 3D wrestling ring with ropes. The game is about rolling, throwing, flicking, and working together in tag team matches.
Okay.
A fist bumping, smack talking game for the whole family.
The standees look interesting.
They look quite large if you're going to have a 3D ring as well.
If that's the size of the box, then they are pretty big.
Yeah.
Is there Mexican wrestling dice one? Was that the one we've seen the last couple of years where they've had a Mexican wrestling ring on the table as well? Was that a different
game? Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Oh. Oh, they've got another game as well.
Clacks Collector's Edition.
Ah, Karen wants to see this.
Okay, so it's a 5th anniversary edition based on the books of Terry Pratchett. The game includes miniatures of Moist von Lipwig, a deep dwarf, and 12 Klax towers. Players use jacquards to turn lamp tiles on and off to transmit words. Includes solo play, PvP, children's cooperative, and Goblin Glory games. It is a puzzle game. It can be played from age 8 upwards.
Okay. I haven't read any Discworld books for years. I really need to get back. I mean, you know, there's a finite number now, obviously.
Yes.
I read a smattering of different ones, but...
They've recently had a new cover set come out, and they're all quite pretty.
Oh, right, okay. Mine are all the original ones. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we've got Battle Systems on stand 11042. They are bringing Core Space Firstborn, which is a solo cooperative sci-fi miniatures game. in which your band of traders venture into the temples of the Firstborn, a fanatical alien species that do not welcome intruders. And it has apparently a full 3D gaming board. And it's miniatures, 3D terrain. It's going to be expensive, isn't it?
Yeah. See, the premise sounds interesting and fun, but I'm not really into the miniatures.
No.
Really. Because they're just too big. There's too much stuff. Just give me some, like, make it a bit simpler for me.
Yeah, give us some cars and meeples and we're happy, aren't we?
Yeah.
Next on stand 1738, we've got Bombix, who are bringing Glow. Ooh. Overnight, the darkness has thickened. Dispelling this darkness and restoring colour to the world requires many bursts of light. Adventurers are born and trained for this. To master the power of the elements, choose their companions and find their way to the villages with light. That sounds interesting. It's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Yeah.
It reminds me of, what's that film where everything's in black and white and it all starts to become colour?
No idea.
I can't remember what it is. It's like it was in the late 90s.
Don't know.
Black and white. Turns to colour. And because I'm using Edge, my default search engine is Bing, and it's shit. So, yep. But also I've misspelled film. So, Black Nad White. Black and white. It thinks I want to colourise films. I don't want to colourise film. I want to find out about this film that had black and white in. Sorry, everyone. Get to Google through Bing. Pleasantville. That's it, look. See, Google knows straight away what I'm talking about.
Fair enough.
They're in like a 1950s TV show.
Okay.
And they get trapped inside it. But then they corrupt them and introduce like modern ideals into them. And then as their modern ideals spread, the film goes from black and white to colour.
I see. I have not seen it.
Mm. I think that's what it's about anyway. I haven't really seen it for years, but I don't think I've seen it all the way through. I think I've just seen the old clip on TV. So let's have a look at the components for that. Oh, I see. It's got lots of fun black and white art. And then cards with little colour symbols on. That looks interesting. I like the look of that. Who is this by again? Bombix.
By Bombix.
Let's get the old list up. Bombix. And I'm going to put a yes for them. Right. They're also bringing Codex Naturalis. To make choices is up. What? Oh, to make choices is to give up. Right, okay. You are tasked to assemble the pages of Codex Naturalis, which lists the species of the four kingdoms living in primary forests. Place your cards according to the resources they bring you to meet the objectives and develop the richest manuscript. Interesting. And Garden Nation. Oh, this looks fun. The little people exiled from the forest found shelter in an abandoned garden to build a new town, but each clan wants to seize control of the town. Complete official projects, take control of territories, secret missions, and even the invasion of opponent buildings. Ooh. Garden Nation. What's that all about then? Let's look that up on BGG. What lovely components has it got inside? Oh, it's got lots of little... are they like animal meeples? Let's find a proper picture of them. Well, you've got like little different coloured tokens that you stack up on top of each other, but there we go, full size image. What we got there? We got like a turtle with a thing on its back. I don't know what all these are.
I guess they indicate something to do with something.
Yeah, is there a rule book? Let's have a look. Official English rule book. Yes, there is.
Official.
I've got to log into BGG. Okay. La di da di da. Right, we have here the official English rulebook. This is a list of components. Components. So, the different coloured ones are building floor modules, 20 of each colour. Oh, they're roofs. And the tortoise with the thing on its back is a torticrane.
I see.
So he's like craning things around. That looks fun as well then. That's definitely on my list. Right then. We'll do two each. We'll skip this one though. For everyone wondering which one we're skipping, it's Karuka, which is like a sort of snooker pool type game.
But also not that air hockey.
And air hockey, yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Okay.
So next up we've got Coiled Spring Games, who are going to be on 2622. And they're bringing Mille Fiori. So you are a glass manufacturer and trader. Produce precious glassware, trade and secure the support of inhabitants. Use a mix of strategies and tactics to build a flourishing glass dynasty. Just remember to keep the secret.
What secret?
Who knows?
I'm guessing we must know if we're going to keep it.
Well, I guess it's one of those secret objective type tactic
things.
Ooh. Everything's clear.
That looks fun.
I'm assuming they're going to be plastic because making them out of glass would be way too expensive.
Yeah. Little plastic, transparent, coloured ships and player pawns and tokens.
Glass tiles.
Yeah. That looks very nice.
Complicated as well.
It does, but definitely I think we need to investigate this a bit more. Coil Spring Games, did we mark those down on our list of ones we want to see?
I think you may have added.
I've put a maybe, yeah.
Karen's put a yes, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure this one, next one, they've brought it before. Anyway, the next one they're bringing is called Living Forest. The sacred tree is in danger, and the four spirits have been called to rescue the forest from the devastating flames of Onibi. But beware, the fire master will attack. I'm guessing that means attack each turn.
Oh, little, yes. I little don't think attach. You get the you get him attaching to you.
I mean, that might prevent you from doing stuff.
Yeah. You reckon they might have bought this before?
It feels familiar.
It says 2021.
Okay. So maybe not. Well, maybe they had a preview of it last year. I don't know.
I don't recognise it.
Maybe it was something else I was thinking of.
There's a lot of nature-themed games around at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah.
Ah.
Right, so Coiled Spring are also bringing King Domino Origins. Travel back in time. I think this is probably another typo. To the prehistoric era. I'm guessing it's era.
Era, yeah.
Yeah. Use the lava to bring fire to your regions. Gather resources and recruit fearless cavemen to expand your tribe and hunting territory. A standalone in the King Domino family. So I've never played any of the King Dominoes.
I've played Queen Domino, but never King Domino.
I'm not quite sure what it's about.
I do you know what? I know I've played Queen Domino, but I can't remember it. I wouldn't be able to describe it to
does,
you.
Does it have anything to do with dominoes, or is that just something else?
I think the pieces are domino-esque.
Ah, okay.
Possibly. Let's look at some pictures.
Some Pikachus.
Yeah, look, the tiles have got like it's like a, they've got a different shape on it, okay. A different pattern on each side, so they are like sort of dominoes, but not with numbers, with pictures.
Yeah,
that looks fun. Have you done two there? No, you've done one.
No,
you've
done I've done Spring. One. They have okay. Three games there. So next up, we've got Cubicle 7 Entertainment, who are at 1002, and they are bringing a Warhammer 40k role play called Wrath and Glory Redacted Records.
Yeah,
so that, there's a lot of titles and subtitles there.
Yeah, I think we should just skip past all these. Lots and lots of Warhammer stuff.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, they're bringing three different Warhammer RPGs. There you go.
Right then, so who's next? Dazbog Games. So it's a strange name. They're on stand 1569, and they are bringing Overtime, a satirical card game of office life and overtime hours, where players compete to be the first to get rid of all their assignments, whether by working hard or by passing off their tasks to the other players. A bit too close to home for me, that one.
Yeah.
Might get that one a miss. Next, we have Descent Games on stand 2482, who are bringing Library Labyrinth. Of course, they were there last year. And since they were there, Library Labyrinth has successfully funded on Kickstarter. And rather than us telling you about it, I'm just going to say go to our YouTube channel, because we did an interview with Mill from Descent Games last year, and she explained what Library Labyrinth was all about. And as well as that, they're also bringing along some of their roll and colour notepads and greetings cards. The greetings cards I backed on Kickstarter for Christmas, I think it was, and sent a few of those out to people at Christmas. And they're just greetings cards with a cool illustration on the front and a little sort of roll and write type game on the back. So, yeah, if you're interested in getting some cards to send to people at Christmas, then Descent Games is where you should go.
Is it my turn again?
I think so.
Okay, so next up we've got Dranda. Yay. Dranda Games at 1T93.
Yeah.
We've got Solar Sphere.
Well, we did an interview with Aidan about that last year, didn't we?
Yes, which we have talked about before and featured before.
Ah, no, this is what I'm looking forward to.
Isle of Trains, All Aboard. So Isle of Trains is a card-based engine-building game where cards have multiple uses. You can use them as locomotives, freight, passenger, cars, or buildings to improve the effectiveness and abilities of your train. You'll be racing to deliver contracts and passengers.
So this is a sort of reprint, or not quite a reprint, it's like a second edition of a game that was originally published by someone else that they've now taken on board and improved the art and added a few extra mechanics to. I think the original author made an expansion, and he's like mashed the expansion together with this now, so you get everything all in one box. So, but I'm looking forward to trying this one. They've got another train game as well.
Yes, they've got Pioneer Rails, which looks very much like it's set in the USA. In Pioneer Rails, you represent a railroad owner who has seen an opportunity to expand your empire across new lands of the frontier. This flip and write game has been designed by Matthew Dunstan and Jeffrey D. Allers.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we've got a sit down with Dranda Games booked, so I'm sure we'll find out all about these games at some point over the course of the weekend. This next one's you as well.
So next up is Draw Lab Entertainment, which is going to be on 2201.
So these are the guys who did Witless Wizards, aren't they? Which I backed on Kickstarter.
If you say so.
They are, yes.
They're bringing Taktiki, which is an abstract strategy game for two with strong memory aspect. Players try to build a tower of five tikis on the opponent's side, moving their tikis one at a time, defeating the enemy tikis they find on their way.
This has been on Kickstarter a couple of times, I think. And I sort of like the look of it, but not enough to back it from the Kickstarter page.
Yeah.
But you never know. Playing it in person might be different. Okay. Can you do the next one? The only reason I'm asking is because I've got 45 seconds left on an eBay auction. I want to make sure I don't lose it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right, so next up is Eurydice Games on stand 1226.
See, I'd have just said Eurydice.
Yeah, but Eurydice is a person from Greek myth.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
I believe. So they're bringing Flick Fleet. Flick your spaceships into position and then flick dice from them at your opponent's ships in this dice dexterity game of deep space destruction. So basically you flick stuff at each other and try and destroy the other person's ships. after hopefully flicking your ship into a good position to do so.
Oh, all right. Have I won? Have I won? Come on, eBay. Tell me if I've won. It's not even on there. You're going to tell me if I've won it or not? You stupid thing.
You might have to refresh.
Yeah. Shall I tell you what? I'll tell you what it is while I'm waiting for it to load on my phone. It's a so I've got a load of old VHS tapes, and since I'm, you know, Karen and I are both sorting all of our stuff out for when we move, I figured let's get them all onto digital. So I found there's this Panasonic VHS and DVD recorder. That's got HDMI out, so I can plug it directly into the HDMI on my capture card on my PC, and then just record all my old VHS tapes directly onto my hard drive and archive them. It's mostly all old F1 stuff, but it's stuff you can't get anywhere else. So I thought I might archive it, stick it on the web, internet archive or something. I don't know. And yes, I've just run it. So if I pay now, yep, PayPal. Check out with PayPal. Yay, done. There's lots of pictures of this Flick Fleet game, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Ice Cool meets Starship Combat.
Yeah. Meets Tiddlywinks.
Yeah. Right.
There's an expansion and there's, as well. And there's Flick Fleet Xeno Wars, which adds two extra alien species and extra rules.
Well, there you go. Okay, I'll do the next three. The next one is Free League Publishing, which are just bringing the One Wing. The One Wing. The One Wing.
The One Wing.
The One Wing, as Jonathan Ross would say. The One Ring Lord of the Rings role-playing game. I'm sure if you're into that kind of thing, you'll know all about that. And they're doing a board game version of Tales from the Loop. Interesting.
Mm.
Never read. Is it a series of books or something? Is it Tales from the Loop?
I think so. Or it might be. Or was it comics?
I know there's an RPG. Tales from the Loop is an American science fiction drama series. Based on the art book of the same name. There we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not familiar too much with the IP, but I understand it's pretty good. What have I done with the... there it is.
I don't know.
The PDF file. It's disappeared. They're also bringing Vaisen. Is that how you would say that?
Yeah, they were... I can't remember whether that one won one of the UKG awards last year. I know it was definitely nominated.
Yeah.
But it's basically Nordic horror. And it's an RPG.
Yeah.
I quite like it, the look of it, but I have nobody to play RPGs with, so.
Yeah, especially not horror RPGs.
Yeah, because Matt's a wuss.
Whatever. Who's next? Stand number ? Are Funko Games, who are bringing Marvel Battleworld Series 3 Ultimate Armory. So if you're into art and Marvel Battleworld, then this is the third section. Expansion. It's not really an expansion, is it? Because it's like a collectible thing, so it's like the third...
Yeah, it's like the third release of things.
Yeah. The third content drop.
Yeah.
That's what we'll say, content drop. Oh, there's an E.T. game. E.T. Light Years From Home game. E.T. was left behind and their federal agents are coming for him. In this cooperative adventure game, players Elliot, Gertie, Michael and Greg as you work together to send E.T. home. Oh. Does it have a little E.T. figure, I wonder? Let's have a look on the Geek. If not, they're missing a trick. Well, there's only a picture of the back of the box. No, but it's got an E.T. sort of printed thing on card, but it has got four figures of. Oh no, it does have a little ET. There he is. Look.
Yeah, he's wrapped
in his
up.
Towel. Oh, isn't that lovely? And I'm guessing you put him in the basket of the. All the player figurines have got little are all on bikes with a little basket on the front. So you must put ET in the basket.
Yeah.
How cool is that? And then you can play the John Williams music in the background while you're doing it. Da, 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 da. Oh, and they're also bringing the Jurassic World game. Funko have got a lot of IPs, it seems. The yes. rights to a lot of IPs.
Yes.
Jurassic World, Legacy of Isla Nublar. You play through 12 adventures in which you customise an entirely unique game board. Oh, so it's a legacy game. And breed new dinosaurs you cannot unmake. Your team's fateful choices will have a lasting impact, creating your own Isla Nublar story. Your experience will culminate in an endlessly replayable game of your own creation. Oh, right, so it's a legacy game, and then when you're finished, you can just play the game you've created.
Yeah.
At the end. That sounds fun. The thing that worries me about it is it's by Funko.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of a very, you know, mass market type company, aren't they? So
yeah.
But maybe they are branching out properly to, like, stuff. Properly to stuff.
Yeah.
And next up is Galacta, who are on stands 1302 and 305. They are bringing Waste Knights, second edition, which is a post-apocalyptic game of adventure and survival. Wasn't this on Kickstarter back in the day?
Maybe.
Set in dystopian Australia. Hmm.
Yes. Inspired by cult classics of post-apocalyptic cinema in dystopian Australia.
No idea.
I wonder which franchise that could be.
I don't know of any Australian post-apocalyptic film starring Australian actors. Can't think of any.
No. Oh, there's one starring a British actor.
Yeah.
I guess you could argue.
You could. Okay. So this is, when was the original? Yeah, crowdfunding, it says Kickstarter. So yeah, it was on Kickstarter at some point. We've still got that post-apocalyptic game you've had for years and we've never played, have we? Which one was that?
I've got several.
Yeah.
One of them's still in the cellophane. I've got Saltlands.
Saltlands, that's the one.
Pioneers Program.
Yeah.
I've also got one of the Mars game, the less popular of the Mars games that came out both in the same year.
Yeah.
One of them was Terraforming Mars, which is not the one I've got.
They're also bringing then, this is Galacta we're still talking about, the Shadow Planets, the board game, which is a sci-fi game of alien horror, which perfectly blends the idea of hidden identities with a revolutionary approach to deck building.
Interesting.
Mm. Interesting, yeah. And then the board game version of This War of Mine, which has been out for a while, actually, hasn't it?
Yes, I think it was quite popular because, well, This War of Mine was quite popular.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've ticked Galacta as somebody to go look at.
Have I? Let me have a look.
No, you haven't.
But I'm going to put them down as a maybe now.
Yeah, which is interesting because on the list, the exhibitor list, it says publisher of, and then it gives two games that neither of which
are in that list.
Yeah. Are in that list we've just mentioned.
Right. It's your turn again then, Ray.
So next up we've got Gen 42 Games, who are going to be on 2/7/15. They are bringing Feed Me.
Is that a request or...?
No, okay. Although I haven't had dinner yet, which is a Marble Run puzzle.
Ooh, interesting.
I haven't seen a Marble Run type thing for many years. Gravity-powered logic. Choose a puzzle card, insert it into the game, and add walls and balls. Work out the solution by adding the required walls, release the balls, and watch as they cascade down through a maze of walls to where Chewie waits to feed. So you've got to feed a weird little dinosaur thingy.
That sounds interesting. It's not on Board Game Geek yet.
With marbles.
Well, there is one on Board Game Geek, but that's from 1987. And so pretty sure it's not the same thing. Nah, that looks completely different. That's like a Yeah, that's we'll have to see that in the show.
Giant plant. Tatsu, which I have a copy of.
Yeah.
Hive, which has been around for years.
You have Hive as well, don't you?
I have Hive Mini.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Next up is GMD Online, which is Stand 2 1037. They're bringing Onslaught, a 2+ player card and dice game where you are interdimensional celestial entities battling for dominion over core worlds of the Nexus. Build decks with a mix of champions and tricks to win the game, defeat all opposing champions before they defeat yours. Okay. This sounds a bit like a kind of Hearthstone-y type game.
Hearthstone-y, Magic-y type card battler.
Yeah, card battler. They've also got the GMD Core RPG, which is a cinematic universal RPG. Any genre, any story, anywhere, anytime.
Okay, so it's a system rather than a setting, I would imagine.
And a vehicles and mounts guide to go with it.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Next up we have now I'm going to say this is Hachette rather than Hatchet. Hachette, yeah. Board Games UK. I think they're originally a French company, aren't they?
I think so. I believe Hachette is it's also a book publisher.
Oh, that might be the same people then.
Maybe.
Might be a subdivision. They're on Stand 2538. They are bringing Acropolis, which is a 3D tile-laying game with 5 ways of scoring. You have to overbuild on potentially interesting sites, and good planning will score big. So you're building a city in ancient Greece by laying and stacking tiles. I think I saw a preview of this on a YouTube video that someone had done, and it looked quite interesting. Let's have a look. Yeah, so you've got all these tiles, and then you're putting other tiles on top of them.
Yeah.
But it's not just single tiles. They're all like those triangular-shaped 3 tiles in one pieces.
Yeah.
That's horrendously explained. But, yeah, this looks quite interesting. I think I've marked Hachette down as someone I want to investigate. Yeah, I have. Hachette distribute 24 different publishers in the UK, apparently, so they've got they should have lots of games from lots of different people. Northgard Uncharted Lands. It's a 4X deck builder in the world of Vikings. Apparently, it's fast-paced deck builder from the successful Viking video game. I haven't heard of Northgard. Is that a game?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Loading, which is a small real-time card drafting game. It says it's a frenetic game for 2 to 7 players. What does frenetic mean? Is it just like frantic?
Yeah, like exciting, lots of movement, okay. That sort of stuff.
I know the word, I just wasn't sure exactly what the meaning was. You stack cards in ascending order, but can steal key loading cards to opponent. What? By giving them, you can steal key loading cards to opponent by giving them points. I'm reading that right, aren't I? It's just
I think there's possibly a word that's
that's missing.
I think maybe this is a Google Translate jobby.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a fun little card game anyway. And then after Hachette, we've got Cosmos, who are on Stand 1602, and they are bringing Dodo. The Dodo has laid her eggs at the top of the mountain. Players have to work together to build the bridges and bring the rolling wibbly-wobbly egg safely to the rescue boat at the foot of the mountain. And it requires speed and teamwork. So it's a cooperative pattern-matching game. Oh, that looks cute.
Aww.
The Dodo looks lovely. Does it have a real 3D mountain, though? That's the question. Or is it just... let's have a look. Dodo. It sure does. Look at that. It's a 3D board.
Wow.
That looks fun.
I think you've already marked Hachette. And it's got its own. It's actually got a.
This is Cosmos now.
Oh, this is Cosmos. Yeah. Sorry, I think you've marked Cosmos.
I don't know if I did because I thought they're big enough that we'd see them anyway.
Oh yes, I think.
H I J K Cosmos. There we go. I'm going to change them to a maybe. There we go.
There we go.
What else are they bringing? Oh, a new exit game. Exit Lord of the Rings. Oh, that's interesting.
Shadows over Middle-earth. Mm,
might have to pick that one up. And they've got a new roll and write called My City from Rainer Knizia.
Yep.
The dice roll shows everyone which building to draw on their pad. Experience the development of your city through 12 varied games. You can play through the campaign or pick your favourite individual games to play over. So it's a looks like a fun roll and write game, which I'm starting getting into recently. And next up is, now we will skip over the battle mats because they're just battle mats. Okay, Ray, here we go.
Okay, so next up we've got Magpie Games on stand 1752, who are bringing Root, the RPG.
Ooh.
So this, I assume, is the RPG version of the large board game Root. The RPG runs on the Powered by the Apocalypse system, fits 3 to 5 players, and has a runtime of 2 to 4 hours. There you go. They're also bringing Wizard Kittens, the card game.
Yeah, I've got this. We've talked about this before. I backed this on Kickstarter back in the day. Remember, this is one where I said I couldn't understand the rule book.
There you go. You'll have to go and take your queries to the stand.
I don't know if I've still got it. I don't know if I sold it.
Ooh.
I might have done. Oh, well.
They're also bringing Zombie World, which is a card-based tabletop role-playing game of survivors fighting against the living and the dead, you know, as you do in zombie things.
Yep.
Lasts 2 to 4 hours. Is that total? Because if Root the RPG only lasts 2 to 4 hours, then that I would be tempted by that.
That's per session, I'd imagine. Is that what it said, though?
It says has a runtime of 2 to 4 hours.
It's powered by the Apocalypse system. You have to look that up and see what that's all about.
Yeah.
Or just wait and they'll explain it to us next weekend.
Just wait, yeah.
Yeah.
And next up, we've got Medusa Games, stand 2502, who are bringing an expansion to 9 worlds, Creatures and Monsters. Yep, they're also bringing Oranges and Lemons. Is this one of the new ones?
This is the new one he's working on at the moment.
Yeah. So using the locations in the Oranges and Lemons rhyme, which only British audiences will understand.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember what's in that rhyme.
No.
Players will trade, invest, lend money and dabble in politics in Old London Town. This game is at playtest stage, looking for a possible 2023 release.
Richard talked about this in our interview I did with him before the Expo last year. So if you want to know more about that, it's going to be best to just listen to that.
Also, the Great Fire of London and the 2-player expansion.
Yeah. And that's it for Medusa Games.
That's it. Blah, 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 blah. Yep.
Okay. Next up is Mighty Boards on stand 1368. They are bringing Hamlet, the village building game. This is one I've put on my list of things to look at.
I think I put Mighty Boards on, but for something else.
maybe it'll be coming up next then.
Maybe.
But Hamlet is a medium weight competitive village builder where players are communally turning their Hamlet into a bustling little town. In this tile placing game, players construct buildings that everyone can use to create resources, earn and make deliveries to construct the church. And I thought it just looked like something fun. Nice little village builder. Next up is Fate Forge, Chronicles of Khan. I'm guessing it wasn't this.
No.
Okay. This is apparently an action-packed, app-driven dungeon brawler. Expect a co-op experience with over 30 hours of playtime and plenty of content with lots of novelties supported by an app that tracks your every move. I've got a feeling app-based games are going to be the next big thing, aren't they?
I don't know.
They're sort of sinking in a little bit. Well, especially like legacy games, so you can track.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, things that happen. Vengeance Roll and Write, is it this one?
No.
Okay.
Roll and fight.
Roll and fight. I do apologise, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's a roll and write, roll and fight game, in which the frantic action around the table mimics the kick-ass fighting action in the game world. It is set in the world of Vengeance. I'm not sure what that is. I'm guessing it's an RPG world of some type. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Much about it. And then next up is Minerva Tabletop Games. Oh, they're the people who did Swatch, the game of abstract art, which I have had delivered in the last week or two. Ooh. Haven't opened yet because I need to do the video. But add colours to your palette, trade with other players, and mix colours together to make swatches and build your own colour scheme. Balance speed and efficiency to be the first to finish, but watch out for spilled paint. So I am going to go and see them because they're giving away a promo card for anyone who backed the game on Kickstarter. So I'm looking forward to saying hello. That's my two done.
Okay, so next up we've got Molinarius Games, who are going to be at 2485. They're bringing Lakes card game. Oh, this is all about the Lake District.
Oh, yeah, I think we put this down as a maybe.
In this two-player game of strategy, collect Lake District landmarks to score victory points. Use backpack cards to stop opponents and help you win. Complete secret Lake District missions to help boost your score. That's interesting.
It is.
I quite like the lakes, the Lake District.
Yes.
We went there last October, and hopefully we'll go back sometime this year.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. This is Motok Rosh Machinations at 1462. Who are bringing capes and cloaks and cowls and a park, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
A self-contained sandbox setting in a slowly unraveling ultra-dimensional theme park full of sorceress couturiers vying for power. For any
I don't know that word.
I am not entirely convinced. I'm guessing it's...
courtiers, maybe?
No, it's couturier. No, apparently
that is a
people
word.
Who make clothes.
Oh, okay.
Fashion. Like haute couture, I imagine it comes from.
Okay.
So it's an Anglo thing that's come from a French word.
Mm.
So you have six themed islands with three or more adventure sites each and 100 fashion-forward treasures.
I don't quite understand what's
I'm very confused about what's going on.
Yeah, let's Google
it. Something to do with fashion.
I say Google. Let's Bing it. It's a self-contained RPG sandbox setting.
Yeah, we got that much.
And it was on Kickstarter.
And you make fashion?
Well,
maybe,
it's an RPG.
Maybe this is one of those things where you have to go and actually look at it to understand what's going on.
Is it my turn next or it's me? Yeah. Next Dimension Games on stand 1573. They're bringing Go Ahead Punk, which is like a inspired by 70s classic cop cinema things, basically.
Yep.
There's not much about info about it in this, but it's. I had a quick look at it, and yeah, it's all like 70s cops in leather jackets and things. And,
it's a hidden movement.
Make
game.
My day, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's hidden movement.
Yeah. One versus all, it says.
Mm. Yeah, so it'll be like those games where one of you is the vampire.
That's right.
And the other ones have to figure out where you are to kill
you
are. Or something.
Yeah. Osprey Games is next on stand 1927. They are bringing lots of things, but the ones we've got here are Crescent Moon, which is an asymmetric area control game where you take on the role of one of five radically asymmetric characters, each with their own objectives, unique actions, and game-changing powers. Build symbiotic relationships, undermine your rivals, and choose your friends wisely in this cutthroat game of power and politics. And it looks like it has lots of lovely components inside it. So I'm looking forward to looking at this one. They also have Cryptid Urban Legends, which doesn't appeal to me. But it's a tense.
I think it looks fun.
I thought you'd like this. It's a tense asymmetric game of competitive deductive reasoning for two players from the creators of Cryptid. Okay. Yep.
Next up is Paper Boat Games on 1605.
Yeah. So we know the first game they're bringing.
Yeah. They are the creators of last year's best game of Expo, Snapshot, Wildlife Photographer, which went on to do very well on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
There is also the Flora expansion.
Well, I got that Snapshot. As part of Kickstarter. So.
Yeah.
But this next game that they're bringing on, I'm very excited to see.
Which is Cloud Foxes. Cloud Foxes is a fast-paced tactical board game for 1-4, transporting you to a world of sky pirates, flying foxes, and levitating ships. So it's dice management, tile placement, and area control.
Yeah, let me show you some pictures of this. Because I think you'll like this as well. Oh, it's not on BGG yet. Hang on. Cloud Foxes, Paper Boat. Oh, for God's sake. I can't use a computer.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. And also searching for things in Bing is dangerous as well. Because, you know. Their website doesn't seem to be loading. Oh, no. Oh, there we go. Cloud Foxes. So can we view that picture big, please? Please? What are you doing? There you go. Can't really see much from that. But it looks intriguing.
Yeah. I can see lots of flying foxes.
Yeah. And it's a lot bigger and a lot more complicated than Snapshot. So I think it's a good step up for them. And I'm excited to find out more about it.
Cool.
Is it still you or is it me?
Don't know.
I'll do this one then. Okay. Phalanx on 1402 are bringing Successors, which is an area control campaign battle card driven dice rolling event pick up and deliver and point to point movement game. Obvs.
That's a lot.
Establish yourself as the sole successor of Alexander the Great's vast empire in this, the fourth and heavily updated edition in one of the best multiplayer strategy games ever published. I've never played it.
Me neither.
No. They're also bringing Brett Wilder, would you say that?
Brett Wilder? I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. Really, the sagas of Dark Ages England. Well, I don't really want to, but okay. And grow your kingdom through diplomacy, coercion, and conquest to become the overlord of all Anglo-Saxons. Brett Wilder is a highly interactive area control game for 1-4 players with beautiful components harking back to 9th century aesthetics. And again, that's area control, quests, action drafting, variable player powers, blah, 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 lots of different things. And they're also bringing 1941 Race to Moscow. This doesn't appeal to me at all. Take command of one of the massive German army groups and advance towards Moscow in this follow-up to the award-winning 1944 Race to the Rhine. Race to Moscow is a Euro-style war game for 1-4 players focused on logistical aspects of Operation Barbarossa.
Now, I'm pretty sure I remember 1941, the German army, perhaps not the side you might want to be playing as.
Yes, you are right. Okay.
Who knows?
Let's move on.
Radical 8 Games are next on 1261.
These are the Die of the Dead people.
They are bringing Damask.
Not the mask.
No, Damask.
I want to wear Damask. Damask. No. Okay.
And this has a sort of Athul Sagrada type feel to me. You are a master weaver spinning silk and creating beautiful tableaus. Players draft silk cubes from a unique spinning wheel and mount matching damasks to make money or gain favors for being in fashion. So you basically have to make stuff out of silk.
Yeah. So this was on Gamefound, and I wasn't sure about backing it or not. But maybe after playing it at the expo, I'll have more of a concrete idea of whether I want to get it or not. But it does look pretty.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, still you.
So next we've got River Horse, who on 1T83. And they're bringing the Dark Crystal Adventure game.
Didn't they bring this last year?
I don't know.
Okay.
Enter the world of Thra in River Horse's newest RPG based on the Henson classic. Create your Gelfling character, explore hidden realms, and resist the evil Skeksis.
Mm-hmm. Never watched The Dark Crystal.
Neither have I.
Oh, that surprises me. I'd have thought it would have been the type of thing you'd have seen.
No, I haven't.
When you weren't watching The Thing, you know.
I don't know. I'd never heard of it until it got a reboot on Netflix.
Okay. Right, who have we got next? Rowan, Rook and Dekar on stand 2330. They are bringing Heart, The City Beneath, which is apparently a 7x Emmy award-winning tabletop role-playing game. So, okay. And then they're also bringing Sin, a Spire RPG sourcebook. So if you're into the Spire RPG, you've got some quality new content for yourself there. And Void Heart Symphony, which is another role-playing game about mundane people diving into a demon-filled labyrinth to save the ones they love. I think I'll give that one a miss. Next up is Cypher on stand 1539, who are bringing Par Halzoon, which is an exciting mathematical spiral race game that has a similar feel to classic games like Ludo and Snakes and Ladders. Okay, then. Great. Let's just move on past that. All right, not many pages to go now, Ray. Nearly there.
All right. Stone Sword Games on 1-1025, who are bringing Senjutsu, a samurai dueling game. Battle for Japan. You choose your samurai character, craft a deck of 40 ability cards to represent your samurai's distinctive fighting style. Senjutsu includes a beautifully detailed battlefield for this tight skirmish style board game.
Not sure on that. I'm sure it'd look really nice, but I'm not sure it's the type of game I'd want to play.
Yeah, I'm not too interested in skirmishy games.
Yeah. Looks like they've got another skirmish game as well, or battle game of some kind.
Daimyo, which is players battle through three wars where they take control of Japan. Euro area control, war economy builder. So war games, more Japan themes.
War economy, that's interesting.
This one I thought, I don't know because of the name.
Yeah.
It's called Cosmoctopus. Prove your loyalty to the great Inky One. Collect obscure relics, study perplexing scripture, listen for unsettling whispers and look to the stars in this 1-4 player tentacle gathering engine builder from the designer of Parks. So I thought that could be interesting because of the name, and Parks looked quite good. And you backed Parks, didn't you?
Did I?
Did you? I don't know.
Can't remember.
I can't remember either. But yes, it sounded interesting. So it's a maybe from me, I think.
Yeah, I would put Stone Sword Games on my list as well. Stone Sword Games. I've put a no. I'm going to move them up to a maybe as well because Cosmoctopus does sound fun.
Surprised Stare Games.
Sorry,
Surprised Stare, as in STARE, who are going to be on 1828. They are bringing The Cousins War, which is the Wars of the Roses, which was a thing that happened a long time ago in the British Isles.
If you go to Warwick Castle, I'll tell you all about it.
Yep. Fought by the Houses of York and Lancaster during the 15th century. The houses were both part of the royal families, so the wars were called the Cousins' War.
Oh, I didn't know
you
that.
Represent one of the houses as they fight battles and gain influence to control England. Mm. Now, if you asked me which house won, I couldn't tell you.
No, I couldn't. I can't remember if Warwick were on the winning side or not.
I don't know. Chris could, because at his school, when they had, you know, like you have houses that you get points for at school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His were York and Lancaster. So.
Oh, interesting. As were Tintern, Fountain, Kelso, and I can't remember the other one. But there was like red, green, blue, and yellow.
Yeah. I can't remember what ours were, but they were very like generic, like names of animals or something. Okay. I can't remember. They basically did away with it after year nine, so it was all pointless anyway.
Yes, yeah, same for me, actually.
Surprise stare, I'm also bringing the Ming Voyages. So another historical-based game. So this is two players or solo. One is the emperor trying to complete the voyages. The other is the barbarian overlord trying to settle on the borderlands of China.
Hmm.
Yep. The next one is also historical,
yeah,
themed around.
Definitely got a niche, haven't they?
Yeah. The March of Progress. Introductory scenario sets out the core rules. It also has four historical scenarios set in the 18th century, Napoleonic Wars, World War One, and World War Two. Each changes the setup and rules to give a flavour of strategy over time, creating a varied and challenging two-player game. It's a micro war game.
Hmm. If only all real wars were micro wars, eh?
Yeah. I think this is your turn now.
Trolls and Rerolls on stand 2449, who will be bringing Amulet of Thrax, which is launching on Kickstarter this week in preparation for the expo. And again, rather than me telling you about this, if you just go to our YouTube channel and look at our UKG content from last year, there is an interview with Tom where we're being guarded by a very, very stern looking soldier/barbarian of some kind.
Yeah.
And then we've got Unlucky Archer, who are bringing, who are on stand, 2:30, and they're bringing Unlucky Adventurers.
You got that the wrong way around.
What?
You said 5:30. It's 3:50.
Did I say 5:30?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're on 2:350 then.
There you go.
And they're bringing Unlucky Adventurers, which is a family-friendly, fantasy-themed card and dice game, where the aim of the game is to eliminate your opponents while keeping as many cards as possible. Which is probably just going to be a your bog standard sort of take that card game, I guess. Maybe. And Vesuvius Media are bringing Catapult Feud, aka Catapult Kingdoms. This is that game that was on Kickstarter last year, isn't it? The one where you had to build like the little catapults and you would fire them at the other players.
If you say so.
I think it was, because I'm pretty sure Gareth backed it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to Google it. Catapultkingdoms.com. Oh, that's the Ukrainian edition, which they did to raise funds, I think. Possibly. Have they got any pictures of the game? Catapult Feud. Yeah, see, you get little catapults and you build up your like little things. On your side of the table or the carpet or wherever you want to play it.
Yeah.
And you build up your little castles and then you use your catapult to try and knock down your opponent's one.
I can see that being very popular with the cats.
I thought you were going to say the kids, but yeah, you're right.
Well, kids too, but the cats will chase after those balls and probably knock over everything anyway.
Yeah. Okay, we're on the last one of the magazine, right? I'll let you do the honours.
So this is Webstar Games, who are at stand 1114.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing Counter Attack, which is a two-player football strategy game that captures the thrills and spills of a 90-minute match. Football as in soccer.
How dare you?
Well, we may have listeners who don't refer to it as football.
I suppose.
So this is squad drafting, strategic positioning, attribute duels, and dice rolls.
Yeah, not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm not particularly interested in football in general. So
yeah, there were a couple of football. They were there last year, weren't they? A couple of different football games.
Yeah.
And whenever we walked past the stands, their stalls were particularly empty. I would say there weren't many people that interested in it.
Yeah, well, one of them packed up after the first day. So
did that? Oh, yeah, you're right. Hey, why did they do that? You know, all the football fans could have come on the Saturday.
Who knows?
Exactly. Who knows? Right. I guess that's everything then. So that's just a small sampling of what's going to be at the expo, but obviously there will be a lot more. I guess the only way you're going to find out what's there is going to be to go to the show and see for yourself. Or keep your eye on our social medias and our YouTube channel, because I'm sure we will be posting content after the fact and telling you what was there and what was good and what wasn't so good. But for now, I think, talking about social media, if you do want to follow us on social media and view all of our content from UKGE, then you'll find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We are TogCast on those platforms. That's TogCast.
To listen to us, you can subscribe in your favourite podcast app or visit direct anchor.fm/TogCast.
And to watch all of our UKGE video content, which will be coming soon, it is on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheOfflineGamer.
Alternatively, you can go via our website, which is www.offlinegamer.co.uk, which contains all of our content and a contact form to get in touch.
And if you'd like to support us, and again, thank you for the individuals who have done so in the last couple of weeks via the Ko-fi website, you can go to ko-fi.com/TogCast and just send us the money for a cup of coffee. That'll go towards printing costs of the map and our web hosting costs and all that kind of thing. So there we go. Are we ready?
No.
No, I don't think we'll ever be ready. No. But we'll just turn up and see what happens.
See what happens, yep.
Yeah. And if you see us, or me specifically, looking around a trolley with an A3 sized cardboard envelope on the back of it, then just ask me for a map and I'll whip one out for you. And hopefully we'll see all of you at the expo. If not, then we'll speak to you soon. And our next episode will be our expo wrap up. So for now, I guess it's thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.